Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Pololo and Josh Jordan from SportsMap. You can read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Pololo and at JoshJordan975. Gents, the Colts come into Sunday's matchup in Houston, winners 4 of their last 5 and 2 in a row. The Texans are looking to get back to their winning ways after dropping that heartbreaker in Green Bay. Indy currently is the only team in the hunt for the division lead at this point, and a win for Houston would be huge considering Colts go into Minnesota in week 9, while the Texans head into New York to face the Jets, who are currently 2-5. So essentially a Houston win this week and next week could put the Colts back at arm's length again for Houston in the division. The topic on everyone's mind from a Texans perspective is how does their offensive line bounce back from an absolutely abysmal performance? In that week 1 matchup, C.J. Stroud put up 234 passing yards and 2 touchdowns, but was sacked 4 times in that game, which was the exact number of sacks allowed last game against the Packers. Mixon had that breakout 159-yard run game in week 1, but no Nico this time around. How do you think the Texans' offense bounces back from last week against this Colts defense?
Well, the offensive line is increasingly perplexing or annoying or infuriating, depending where on the spectrum you are as a Texans fan. And how we apportion blame, well, we're here, I guess, to discuss that, among other things. The available for action sheet moves in the Colts' direction. The Texans barely won at Indianapolis in the opener with Nico Collins going off. Of course, as you mentioned, no Nico. The Colts, meanwhile, for this game, look like they're going to have back DeForest Buckner, their best defensive lineman, certainly who at least plays some on the interior. He had a sack and a half of Stroud in that opener, missed 3 games with a high ankle sprain, but should be good to go Sunday, it appears, for at least partial duty. And anyone on the inside who thinks, I get a shot at Kenyon Green, it's probably a pretty happy camper. Green, quite obviously, is the weakest link on the offensive line, right? There's individual play, and then there's the collective. They're collectively underachieving. None of the grading systems suggest that Laramie Tunsil is playing elite left tackle, $25 million per year left tackle so far this season. But Green, by those same evaluations, he stinks. This is his 3rd year, the 1st year where he was supposedly healthy and in shape and good to go. Barring a dramatic turn, Nick Caserio blew his first-round draft choice with the Texans. Now, the overall roster construction has gone fairly well over the last couple of years, obviously headlined by falling into C.J. Stroud, but specifically with that sore thumb or sorest thumb in that offensive line, Green at left guard, the 15th pick in the draft sticks out when 2 selections after Green, the Chargers took Zion Johnson, who's been a rock steady starting guard, made the all rookie team, and he started all 48 games to this point in his Chargers career. And then you go 8-9 picks later in the 1st round, 2 other offensive linemen selected after Kenyon Green have already made Pro Bowls. Tyler Smith with the Cowboys, Tyler Lindebaum, the center with the Baltimore Ravens. Green has to be replaced, but within the season, the question is, by whom? So you make the best of a bad situation at left guard.
No doubt. And in that same draft, Kyle Hamilton was right there, the safety that went to the Ravens. He's been a Pro Bowler. And we know Jimmy Ward has struggled to stay healthy. So you're not going to hit them all, Caserio. That's okay. But it's disappointing that still hasn't panned out yet. I think my biggest concern is obviously the O-line is not playing that well. But what bothers me is Bobby Slowik, too. Like, why aren't things getting better? It seems like they don't have any answers. A lot of the stuff the Packers did to them in this past game, the Vikings did to him. They just kind of repeated that same recipe, and they didn't really change anything. So hopefully in this matchup, the big difference between those games and this one, besides the opponents, is you're going to be at home. So hopefully the crowd noise isn't causing even more confusion to where running backs and tight ends and linemen don't know who to block. And hopefully they execute better. The communication's better. It's got to be. If it's not better this week, then we have a serious problem. But it's a lot of the stuff with that Shanahan style offense where it doesn't seem like Bobby Slowik wants to change anything. He just kind of keeps running out the same stuff over and over again. And kind of reminds me of when Kubiak was here running a similar system, and they'd come out and kick a field goal to start almost every game and get some points on the board. And those scripted plays would look really good. But as you'd get later into the game and into the second half, they didn't seem like they had any counter punches, or at halftime, there weren't really any adjustments. And I'm seeing that here with Slowik's offense as well. I just, some of my notes from this game, there was a series where Stroud dropped back and scrambled on three straight plays. Like, you don't see that very often. On third down, he dropped back 14 times in that Packers game. He was pressured 12 of those 14 times. So they don't seem to have any answers there. And another thing I noticed is they like to run a real tight split with their receivers, at least one of them, to where a corner will get in real tight as well and all bunched up against the O-line and the tight ends, and then that corner will blitz. And the Texans didn't really seem to have any answers for that. I'd like to see, you know, like last season when we had a bunch of injuries with the O-line, it seemed like they were playing better and they were spreading things out a little more, letting CJ see the field better. I think if something's not working, let's try something else. And, you know, finally on Slowik, the numbers back it up. There's only been one game where they scored more than a touchdown in the second half from what I looked at when I looked it up before this video. So there's something to it. They need to be better in the second half, and I think they need to be coached up a little better, because these guys, they should know what their responsibilities are. They're all the starters, and most of them played last year for most of the season.
I'll draw a loose analogy to when we talk about the Astros with their hitting coaches. Right, how much is on the players? How much is on the coaching? Right, the Astros swinging at everything, situational hitting, so on and so forth. Well, football, right, the five parts of the offensive line, they're integrated together, working as a unit, whereas each batter in the batter's box is his own individual entity. So Slowik very fairly comes under the microscope. And as with the hitting coaches, if you're going to hire them and pay them, Chris Strausser, the Texans offensive line coach, has to catch some heat here. The Colts have a pretty average pass rush. The Green Bay Packers have a pretty average pass rush. They routinely baffled the Texans with stunts. I don't think they were reinventing the wheel and going with pass rush concepts that the NFL's never seen before. So I imagine the Colts and anyone else the Texans face, like the Jets next week, a much better defense than either the Packers or the Colts, they're going to school on the stuff that flummoxed the Texans O-line so easily. Strausser was the O-line coach of the Colts for 4 years before out in the coaching change there. Joined the Texans last year, so he should at least have a decent feel for some of Indy's defensive personnel. I mentioned Buckner back. He can be a problem. Kwity Pye is a pretty solid player. The number one defensive player taken in the entire draft, Laiatu Latu, edge rusher, defensive end. Only a couple sacks so far, but players who are probably thinking, hey, against this Texans offensive line, we could really get after C.J. Stroud, because most teams have really gotten after C.J. Stroud. He's top five in the league in hits absorbed. You know, he'd be much worse in the sack ratings if he wasn't so wonderfully elusive. But C.J. Stroud is getting hit way too often, and that is all about the offensive line. I would throw in, if you're asking a tight end to chip, Dalton Schultz is a weak blocker, right? He still plays the majority of snaps. You know, not often you're going to ask a wide receiver to help out. But Tank Dell is small. Stephon Diggs certainly is not large. And to circle back to the Nico factor, I mean, the bailout in the passing game, if under duress or just because, hey, target your best player the most, not being able to say, Nico, here it comes, make a play, really hurts this attack.
You're right, Charlie. Schultz has been terrible. We can't just kill the O-line here. He's been awful, just not knowing his assignments, whiffing on guys, tripping Titus Howard so he falls down on the ground. I mean, it's just all around. And he's doing almost nothing in the passing game. What, do you have one catch last week? For what they're paying him, Dalton Schultz has been a problem. And we have to realize Dalton Schultz and the O-line, this is the weakest part of the team. And they've been running out there a bunch of, you know, backup corners with, or at least one backup corner with Lassiter out last week. So you'd think, oh, maybe the secondary, but no, it's the offensive line and the protection is the weakest part of this team. And that's where most of the money is.
By contrast, guys, the run blocking overall was better than the pass blocking last week. Mixon ran for 115 yards. We mentioned that Mixon ran all over the Colts in week one. How do you like that matchup in particular, Mixon's ability to run on this defense?
You would think off the matchup in game one, in which Buckner did play, that it cuts fairly well for the Texans. But I would think the Colts can take shots loading the box a little bit more with no Nico Collins to defend. If they can rush the passer without having to blitz much, that frees up more people to play run first. Put it this way, I'll bet the under 159 yards or whatever Mixon's number was in game one. But geez, if the Texans can't run the ball decently in this game, they're probably not going to win this game, at least offense versus Colts D.
My kind of thinking is the Packers seem to be okay with letting Mixon eat last week. Like, we're going to cover the play action stuff. We're going to keep you from getting the ball down the field using CJ Stroud. I almost wonder if the Colts will have the same mentality, like, let Joe Mixon run, but let's not give up the big play. And in the end, we think we'll end up winning the game. We've seen those strategies back in the day when people do that with Peyton Manning and he just hand the ball off to Edgerrin James over and over and over again. It's just, will that produce enough points? You know, it's hard to just matriculate all the way down the field, just running the ball over again, running a whole bunch of plays. A lot of things can happen. The Texans with their penalties, if we start seeing the false starts start happening again and the holdings, then that can really put you behind the chains. And then if you're relying on the run game, you're going to have some struggles.
Josh, with our obligatory SAT word with matriculate this week, usually comes from Charlie. In week one, the Colts scored 27 against Houston. Anthony Richardson threw for 212 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Remember, Alec Pierce got behind the secondary a couple times for a couple of long bombs. But for all the flashes that Richardson has shown, he has really struggled with his accuracy this season. How do you like Houston's defense to contain the Colts this time around at home?
All right, for those who consume this audio only, you need to use the imagination. Brandon's about 5 yards to the left. Josh is about 5 yards to the right. Anthony Richardson is throwing a pass to Brandon. Josh, duck! Anthony Richardson doesn't know where he's throwing a football. 49% completion. That, in the mid-1970s, would have been okay. You know, where the league now is closer to 65%, and he was only 52% last year. His ability to throw the ball from point A to point B on a line where he intends at the University of Florida was an issue. You can only coach up accuracy so much. A big part of that is an innate talent. And if Anthony Richardson cannot show or develop more of it, he had no chance to be a plus NFL quarterback. Having said that, he still poses problems because he is an uber athlete, well, until his next injury. And he has the monster arm, right? The 60-yard home run that he hit against the Texans in the opener. He's run for three touchdowns against the Texans in the two games against which he's faced them. But three touchdown passes thrown against six interceptions, 39-year-old Joe Flacco on the bench is the much better thrower of the football, TD to INT ratio 7-1. While filling in for Richardson. But as the fourth pick in the draft, two spots after the Texans, whoops, fell into CJ Stroud. Of course, the Colts with the investment, they're going to give Richardson time to develop. But as a good thrower of the ball to succeed at the NFL level, the jury's very much out. And I really don't like the Colts' ultimate chances to get a favorable verdict on this. So if the Texans can avoid giving up the bomb, the cheap score, don't let Richardson take off and run for 75 yards. I mean, he ran for 14. He ran 14 times against the Dolphins last Sunday. They only scored 16 points playing the helpless, tool-less Dolphins. The quarterback matchup is an absolute mismatch in the Texans' favor in this game. But you know what? They lost to Richardson here last year. They barely beat Richardson in the opener up there this year. So ultimately, we're just guessing.
Quarterbacks with 100-plus dropbacks this year, at least 100. Richardson is dead last in completion percentage and dead last in passer rating. And the other thing to remember, he always looks rusty when he's playing, not just because he's so inaccurate, but also because he is rusty, because he misses so much time. What has he missed? Like half the games that he's had an opportunity to play in. So this guy's always coming off an injury, and I think it's kind of hard for him to get in a rhythm and get used to these things because he's not regularly playing every week. I think the other big part of this, at least to me, is Jonathan Taylor was limited to practice on Wednesday. They expect that he might return this week. We know what he can do. We remember the last game of the regular season against the Colts. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor is just an excellent running back. So with him and Richardson working together, most of their receivers look like, you know, Michael Pittman's playing through an injury. Josh Downs actually didn't participate on Wednesday, but we'll see. We know how these things go during the week. A lot of these guys end up playing, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to be that running game. We'll see with Al Shire. I don't think he's going to play. He's a big part of stuffing that running game. But Toa Toa is expected to come back from the concussion. They also made a free agent pickup. So I think it's going to be holding down the running game and trying to keep that big play from beating you over your head. And it looks like Kamari Lassiter might be back this week, which would be a huge boost to the Texans defense.
Downs didn't play in the opener. He's somewhat the Colts' Stephon Diggs, a real good work the middle of the field guy. Texans did a phenomenal job against Taylor up there. His longest rush in the game was 7 yards, 16 carries for 48. But as Josh noted, right, this is a high-quality running back. Now, what kind of workload would he be ready to handle coming off missing multiple games? And the Colts do have a solid offensive line, which does appear healthy. Their center, Ryan Kelly, missed a couple of games. Braden Smith's been digged up some. Quentin Nelson, perennial Pro Bowler. So it's a solid matchup. A couple of other Texans defensive notes. Danico Autry, a rather quiet Texans debut, playing under half the snaps, 28 out of 58, I believe it was, in Green Bay. Does he more loudly announce his presence, second game with the Texans against one of his former teams here, the Colts? And you alluded to it, Josh, a curious signing in Devin White for the Texans. Curious career arc, right? A stud at LSU, fifth pick in the draft to the Buccaneers, goes in there, plays really well, helps them win a Super Bowl as a rookie, makes the Pro Bowl his second season, starts every game his third season, full-time starter last year until a little injury problems, and then got outplayed, lost his job late in the year, killed his free agent market, takes a one-year deal with the Eagles, first four games this season, healthy, inactive for all four. Then the Buccaneers, the team he was upset with that they didn't give him a big fat extension, he misses that game, probably would have been inactive anyway, but personal reasons, and then the Eagles cut him. So the Texans take a low risk, potential, at least some reward. The guy's just 26 years old. He has NFL chops, but this may already be his last chance for gas as a viable NFL player. And with no Toa Toa, Al Shire up in the air, I mean, Christian Harris may as well be in football witness protection with that calf problem that he has. Can White give anything to boost the athleticism of the Texans linebacker core? Save for that one idiotic penalty, Neville Hewitt had a pretty good game playing every snap. Jake Hansen, not so much. So I don't know if there's a package they'll hope to get Devin White on the field immediately against the Colts. But it was an interesting signing to take a shot on a guy who better revive his career soon or he's not going to have one left.
To your earlier point, Charlie, Richardson was the Colts' leading rusher against the Dolphins last week. Al Shire is usually Houston's spy when they match up against those dynamic running quarterbacks. So if he doesn't play, containing Richardson will be something to watch. Before we get into predictions, give me an X factor or X factors you're looking for in Sunday's matchup, Charlie.
I wonder if D'Amico Ryan's, well, I don't wonder. I know he's not saying, guys, we win this game, we pretty much wrap up the division. But that's the X factor for me, the spectrum with the outcome of this game. If the Texans win it, you cover, Brandon, they go two games ahead of the Colts. They also wrap up the tiebreaker, right? It's a 17-game schedule, not 162. The Astros had all kinds of time to make up ground on the Mariners after their atrocious start. Well, if the Texans are 6-2 and the Colts are 4-4 and the Texans own the tiebreaker, if the Texans only go 4-5, right, which would be a disappointment the rest of the way, that's 10-7. Well, that wins the division unless the Colts go at least 7-2 in their remaining 9 games. And 3 of their next 4 opponents are the Bills, the Lions, and the Vikings. I'm pretty sure the Colts won't be winning 7 of their last 9 games. So the Texans win this game. Okay, as a practical matter, you own the division and you're still very well positioned for a top 2 seed in the AFC. Hey, lose this game, you're tied with the Colts at 5-3. The tiebreaker's up in the air because of division play, though the Colts losing to Jacksonville might in the end define that if it comes down to it. But the Texans will be open to contender fraud accusations because getting stopped at Minnesota, okay, the Vikings are excellent. Losing close at Green Bay, hey, the Packers are very good. But if you come home and lose to a Colts team at home, to a Colts team that struggled to beat Tennessee 2 weeks ago, struggled to beat Miami last week, this would be by far the Texans' worst and most impactful loss of this season.
My X factor is going to be kind of 2 things mixed together here. That the Texans' passing attack going up against Jalen Jones, a corner for the Colts, he's been playing really well. The last 2 weeks and 65 coverage snaps, he's only allowed 17 yards. And we know Tank Dell went catchless last week. I mean, Stephon Diggs, 5 catches for 23 yards. That's got to be better. Dalton Schultz with the 1 catch we talked about him earlier for 28 yards. The Texans got to get the passing game going. And CJ talked about Tank Dell being a big part of the offense. Maybe it's a squeaky wheel kind of game for Tank where they're going to make a point of let's get this guy the football. Hopefully they'll do something Charlie's been begging for all year is test them deep with Tank Dell. Take a couple shots each game, maybe 1.5. So I'd like to see Tank step up. He dropped that touchdown. And if he would have caught that, who knows? They probably win that game. You don't know how things are going to play out after that, but we know what the final score was. So I'd like to see Tank and CJ and, of course, Diggs, who was chirping before that Packers game, almost got kicked out of that game before it started. Let's refocus here, guys, and just, you know, focus on the little things, get the offense moving. And I actually feel pretty confident, especially all the criticism the Texans have got this week. I expect them to bounce back and perform better this week.
Josh, that's a good one. That was something I was going to highlight too, was that cornerback combo of Jalen Jones and Kenny Moore. It's a pretty good combo. And without Nico, it's going to be imperative. Like you said, Tank Dell has more than 0 catches this week. So I'll go a different direction with it. I'll say that without Nico and given what we've seen from the Texans offense, my X factor is going to be Kyahmi Fairbairn. He had 3 50 plus yard field goals in their first meeting. I have a sneaky suspicion his leg will be an important weapon on Sunday as well. Now, most books have the Texans as a 5-point favorite with the total around 46 points. It's not a lot of points, guys. So unless it falls on one side or the other, this seems to be a close game. Josh, we're going to mix it up this week. We're going to go you first. What's your final score prediction?
Yeah, overall, I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Texans defense. So I'm going to get maybe a little lower scoring game. I don't have the Texans covering, but I have them winning. I think they get out of there 23-20. Texans win.
Well, my only ground rule was to not pick a final score of 24-20, although that was darn close last week, except the most important component, the right side of the point spread. I think the Texans and Colts are pretty evenly matched. I mean, you look at the rosters, position groups, it breaks down pretty evenly overall, except at the most important position on the field, where it's C.J. Stroud overwhelmingly over Anthony Richardson. So if the Texans' D can stay solid and avoid cheap plays, you know, 50-yard pass interference call, 73-yard pass run touchdown play, I'm going the home team and to cover. Texans 26, Colts 17.
That's very close to mine. I go 24-17. Charlie, I'm with you. When in doubt, in CJ, we trust. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We hope to see you back here live on YouTube Sunday late afternoon following Colts Texans. Come on in and react with us. Hopefully, we're talking about and breaking down a bounce back win for the Houston Texans. And until then, go Texans.